Joining us for Democrat of the Day today from 64A and also running for the governor's seat for the DFL ticket, Aaron Murphy is kind enough to join us today to be our Democrat of the Day. Representative, thank you very much.
Hi, Matt McNeil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I imagine there was a lot of door knocking, a lot of handshaking going on as you're obviously working for that governor's race.
I did spend a fair amount of time over the weekend working in pursuit of the office of governor, but I also spent a little time reflecting on Memorial Day and those who gave their lives in service to the country. And so I had a good Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that you did too.
I did, and I do want to, obviously an important element of that, taking time and reflecting here. If we could reflect on a different issue, just really briefly, I would like, because I've talked to Melissa Hortman, I've talked to a few other people here, and now that we're a week past the end of that, the legislative session here, just your position in the House, it obviously gives you a good viewpoint, your thoughts on what happened there with the Republicans?
Well, I think the Republicans clearly came into the session with their eye on one thing, and that was how to position themselves for this upcoming election, how to extract votes, how to move the things that they'd hoped to do in enormous combined bills in such a way that gave Governor Dayton either the option to sign into law things that he didn't agree with and would be bad for the state and our budget, especially that tax bill that they wanted him to sign, pairing that with education funding, was, a leverage point and not a point of leadership on their part at all. And the result of that posture means that there were some important things that should have been done for Minnesotans, for our schools, that didn't get done. That was their gambit. It didn't serve Minnesotans, and Minnesotans are acutely aware of that. So that's what I have to say about the session. It's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for Minnesotans for sure. And we need a better kind of leadership, a better kind of government, and we need to make some progress for the people of Minnesota.
Well, and this brings us back to the governor's race here. Your experience dealing with these Republicans, this is not like Republican parties of the past anymore. These are agenda-driven. I made the point of they take the most extremist point of view and then act as if not being a complete extremist is somehow compromise. And they constantly try to put these dirty tricks into these bills where they're trying to, basically force the governor's hand, Governor Dayton in this case, to make him force him to sign bills that he doesn't want to sign by putting poison pills in the bill. Quite literally, the ag bill had a poison pill where we got rid of the nitrate standards in groundwater, for goodness sakes. And so, I mean, having your knowledge there, we need to have someone in this governor's office that's going to expect these dirty tricks and these double crosses.
I will say that the years of experience, now 12 in elected office, and much of that in leadership in the House, and all of the beautiful opportunity I've had to talk with Minnesotans all over the state for the last 12 years, those are the things that have prepared me to do the job. I know how to balance our budget. I know that skill of negotiating. I actually know how to work with and have successfully worked with Republicans. When I was the majority leader, that's how we got our work done and got it done on time, by working with the minority leader, then Kurt Dowd, so that we were clear about how we were going to operate in concert with one another, with the eye on getting done on time. That was important. But I do think that we're in a place that is unusual for Minnesota. It feels like the politics is more like Washington, D.C., and we have to break that bad habit here in the state of Minnesota. And I think the antidote to it really rests with the people of Minnesota. And as I have been campaigning now for the last 18 months for the office of governor, I see in the people of Minnesota both real possibility and real hope and an appetite to do more than what is happening right now in order to change the trajectory of our state and to change the course of our future.
Oh, I would make a grand argument that Democrats have made their case. I mean, you take back the House. The Senate is up for grabs this time around because of that one seat. Michelle Fischbach has resigned her seat, so that is up for grabs. And, of course, having a fine DFLer like Aaron Murphy in the governor's mansion would be – I think people would remind her, that's right, that things work so well under Democrats.
Yeah, I think it is always our job to present to Minnesotans a vision for our future. And for me, it is an honest vision, a progressive vision. I think we need to show Minnesotans, one, that there is something more in front of us that represents progress for people, strong public schools, single-payer health care, investing again in our infrastructure, but also taking on the tough issues that we face because we face them. And that requires, you know, a different kind of politics, a hopeful kind, this cynical behavior that we saw emanating from the Republicans in the last session is endemic of what's wrong right now in our politics. And we're not gonna build our future with that. We're just gonna careen from election to election, but not really do the work of Minnesotans. And I don't want that for us. I want to build our future, and I know to do it and to do it well has to be in partnership with the people of Minnesota, and that's my aim.
Absolutely. Erin Murphy is joining us, of course, running for governor here and House Rep just getting done through with her session there. With the convention coming up here, I want to give some people some time here. You know, remind people why, again, you're running.
Because I want to build our future. I believe in a kind of politics that improves people's lives, and when we invest in that and in one another, we can take on any tough issue. We are, frankly, unstoppable. And I have seen in my career, first as a nurse and then working with the nurses and then as a legislator, when we have made significant change, significant progress, it has always been in conjunction with a movement with the people of Minnesota. When we passed Minnesota Care, when we passed marriage equality, when we raised the minimum wage, all of those significant efforts came as a result of organizing on the ground, building the support for those ideas with the people of Minnesota. It's something I'm good at. It's something that I believe in. And I believe doing just that with the people of Minnesota will allow us to build a future that includes all of us in the state of Minnesota. And it's time for us to believe in again in that kind of politics and actually take it on.
You are chalking up a fine list of endorsements here. Of course, you've got numerous groups that have backed you up. You're showing a pretty wide appeal here, which is quite impressive.
Thank you. I'm really proud of the coalition that we're building. It is a representation of the state of our broad interests. I'm also excited because so many of the organizations that are supporting this campaign are the organizations that do the very work that I think is necessary to win an election and to govern well. There are organizations that are progressive. There are labor organizations. You know, we've got Women Winning, NARAL, AFSCME, and SEIU. The Minnesota Nurses Association, of course, for the very first big labor organization to endorse this campaign. Outfront Minnesota, Take Action Minnesota. And, you know, there's a group of Faith in Minnesota delegates that I'm real hopeful about, that I hope that they see in me the candidate who can co-create and govern with them, and that they choose to support this campaign as well.
Of course, you've been traveling around the state when you've had time. Obviously, you're doing your due diligence within the legislature. Now that the session's over, you've been heading out around the state. It has been interesting because this governor's, whoever becomes the governor, is going to have to deal with considering our international trade issues, whether that's steel, whether that's agriculture, we have a president that seems destined to destroy both of those industries as best as he can. As the announcement today that Trump was going to go through with the tariffs, which once again was causing China to basically move away from soybean purchases from the United States. I've heard from numerous people in the media in outstate Minnesota, they've said the same exact thing, that these farmers that might have supported Trump, they're incredibly concerned that their entire livelihood is about to get annihilated because of this. Talk about the role of a governor, because once again, then it becomes on you to basically find markets for the products here and making sure that farmer has that market available, even though the president of the United States might be a relative buffoon at this sort of international trade issue.
Well, I think the current president is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. So we shouldn't be surprised by that, but we do have to look out for our interests. And so you're talking about trade and international trade, and I think with our ag economy and with our farmers, one, we're going to have to continue to seek markets despite what he's doing, and we're going to have to be innovative and think about what else we can grow and take to market. Let's develop some markets or find our way into new markets in order to do that, to protect our people, right, to protect their livelihoods, and to make sure that the economies across the state are growing and flourishing. And he is absolutely going to make that harder for us. And we know that there are farmers in the state of Minnesota who have already been struggling, right, with low commodity prices now for a couple of years. So I've got my eye on that. And it is, I think, really important that we recognize the conditions under which farmers in Minnesota are operating right now. And we are looking out not only for their livelihoods, but for their health and well-being as well. But it's not the only place that I'm worried about the Trump administration and their relationship with the states. I think about housing. I think about health care. I think about what Betsy DeVos is doing in education, and recognize that the states have always played a very, very strong role in the way that the United States is governed. And that strong role is only heightened under President Donald Trump. And Minnesota has always been a leader, and we need to continue to lead on the things that are important to us, on climate change, on making sure that everybody has access to health care. And we have a history of actually solving problems here, and I've seen it over and over again. And despite what's happening in Washington, we're going to fight for the well-being and the people of Minnesota, and I'm going to do that as the state's next governor.
You know, you brought up the education issue here, and it's such an important issue. Dealing with the federal government, also dealing with local Republicans who are fighting back against the Democrats on the issue. The University of Minnesota was just named the 35th best university in the world on a rating that I saw on the Star Tribune. On top of that, we have people that actually moved to Minnesota, a lot of people from Wisconsin, who are moving to Minnesota because our education is so much better than what they had where they were at before. Yet it doesn't. It never ceases to amaze me that we can look at something, the Republicans, and look at something that's operating well, that's doing well, and say, okay, now it's time to make cuts. Now it's time to not, you know, give the money for the basic advancements we need. Now is now the time to not take care of all the kids in the state of Minnesota. It really is a mind-numbing mentality when it comes to education from the right.
I will tell you that Minnesotans across the state support education. They support it in our strong public schools. They support early learning. And, of course, they support higher education, both community colleges and our universities. And Minnesota, under the leadership, air quotes around leadership, around the period of time when Tim Pawlenty was our governor, our universities and two-year schools really took a hit. As we emptied out reserve accounts, as the legislature did then before I was here, and spent the tobacco settlement money, and Republicans adhered to a no new tax pledge. And then when we hit a recession, we were faced with a budget deficit after budget deficit after budget deficit. And rather than raising taxes to be able to pay for that, Governor Pawlenty insisted on cuts, and they came in the form of cuts to local government aid. We borrowed from our schools. We shifted funding from our obligation, the state's obligation, to our higher education institutions and to families and kids. And that's why they are carrying so much debt right now. So I see Tim Pawlenty stepping back onto the stage here in the state of Minnesota, and I served with him and know what he did. He wrecked our budget. He really destroyed Minnesota's economy, and we can't let him win again. And I have a pretty compelling story to tell about what we did, and a really awesome alternative for what we can do together.
You, I imagine, are going to be visiting the beautiful Rochester area for the first, second, and third. Are you heading on down to the Mayo Center?
I'll be in Rochester beginning Thursday night, and I'm really looking forward to the convention. It is, of course, the culmination of months and months of work for the delegates who are going to come down to that convention and represent the interests of countless Minnesotans who have been participating in our politics, and specifically in this cycle since the election of Donald Trump. There are people who have not done this in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. You know, there are young people who've never voted before who are organized and participating. There are women who marched and then became part of indivisible groups and book clubs. And all of that early organizing that came in the wake of the 2016 election has manifested in this delegation of people who are going to go to Rochester and make an endorsement in this important race. And I am working very hard every day to earn that endorsement, and I'm hopeful that we will earn that endorsement on Saturday.
It's a big weekend down in Rochester for the DFL. I know the uptake will have a lot of coverage of this, as well as others. We'll look forward to your speeches and the comments as we get into the convention this weekend in Rochester. Aaron Murphy for governor. A reminder, go to murphyformn.com. That's Murphy, MURPHYFORMN.com for more information about her campaign to be governor of the state of Minnesota. Aaron, all my best down there. Have a great week. I hope it cooled down a little bit for you. And all my best as you head into Rochester, okay?
Thanks so much for making time for me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
No, really. Thank you for making time, because your schedule is far more hectic than mine, as I do appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Representative Aaron Murphy of 64A, to be proper, since we're doing Democrat of the Day, her district is 64A. She is, of course, running for the DFL nomination to be the governor of the state of Minnesota. She's headed to Rochester this weekend for the convention there, as they'll be looking to make the endorsement and determine whether or not we'll have a primary on the Democratic side.